Con, I just quickly skimmed through that state of play just so I would know what we were talking about today. And
Dynasty Warriors say is, Origins.
All what? I can say is I am really, really happy that Astro is finally getting like a full-length game. I love
that. Yeah, that's cool.
Astrobot.
Oh no, not Asteroid. The yeah, no, not that one. Astro, the Sony robot who only shows up.
Yeah,
in
it was nice to see Astro.
Free tech demos.
But we kind of knew because it was like the one part of the Japan studio they kept around.
Should we be talking about this in the episode?
Yeah, we should.
You know, what? I'm just going to keep this in. Hello, folks. This is episode 356 of Q&A Quest. I apologize for multiple late posted episodes. Like, for example, today when I was editing 355 and was like, wait, where is 354?
Ooh.
It is sitting here on my computer, uncompleted and unposted.
You're going to get a whole bunch of those all at once.
Whoops, yes, those are already up, so... yes, this is 356, I'm your host, Mike Apps, a.k.a. Wheels, and with me as always.
It's Dylish Hogfang, David McBurney, Family Master.
And for an amazingly large number of Fridays so far this school year, your man in Japan, Michael Baker, Gaiji Monogatari. It should not be this many.
And the regular guest, Smokin' Joe Gamer, aka Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
You're allowed to be a special guest, even if you're a regular.
Yes.
Yeah. Whatever you want to call me, I don't care. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Surprised they got no pushback on the phrase stylish hog fang.
Nice.
I don't know what that means.
I kind of missed that part. I popped in the world, Neo, the World End, with you, and one of the first things you see in the background is a shop called Hog Fang.
Oh,
huh.
And I was just very enthused by that name.
I need to play that game at some point.
Yeah, I was thinking I need to play this because the fucking Raynatus coming out later this year has an extensive crossover content with it. So it's like I should probably do that.
That sounds fun.
I got home, but also I'm quite sick, so we're keeping this one a bit short again.
Apologies. And then there will be no episode next week, because next week is the launch of the Final Shape.
And Wheels would not be able to focus long enough.
My brain will be unavailable.
Yeah, so Wheels gets his time off so that he can enjoy Destiny.
Yes. The conclusion of the 10-year story and new stuff to come, which apparently is all spoiled out there, which I'm going to have to avoid all weekend.
Yeah, so on the bright side, I don't think you're as much of a, like, a social media head as some of us, so...
I mean, only Blue Sky, and there's nobody doing it there.
Yeah, which is nice.
I can't even, like, browse X anymore, which is for the better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god, I just called it X. I swore a blood oath never to do that. God damn it.
Yeah.
I can't even browse Twitter anymore. There you go.
It is the platform formerly known as Twitter.
No, it's still Twitter. I'm not calling it fucking X.
Yeah, no, just out of respect for Elon Musk, we just continue to dead name the thing.
Wow. I like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, video games. I have not been playing a large variety of them.
Yeah, I haven't been able to play anything that requires my brain since I got back.
I've just been playing the same thing for literally the last month. So. Currently on the fourth story through, almost to the end of it.
Nice.
Nice.
Oh, still playing Emerald Beyond?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. My review should be up soon-ish.
Yeah. Good hype.
I like it.
Good video game.
How long were you trapped in the proofing dungeon?
I haven't gotten to the proofing dungeon
yet. Oh, no. No, okay.
I was doing the pre-proofing.
Yes, I am out of the first draft dungeon, finally, which I was in for a while.
Okay.
It's hard. It's hard that first
life
time.
Distractions.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of Destiny, because remember, it's kind of really look funny looking back on all those episodes where it's like, it's going to be nice to have a little, you know, this little breather from Destiny before the final shape comes out, you know, just a nice,
cool.
A nice little content expansion just to tide us over. Nothing too big. Nothing
you absolute imbecile
at all. And it was the fucking opposite of that. Since though they were like, oh, do you like titles? Would you like a title that says fucking God Slayer?
I want a title that says Hawk.
Would you like a title that proves you're actually good at this game? It doesn't really, but
would you like a title that proves that you played a lot of it?
Yes, I honestly enjoyed the fuck out of the challenge. Although at the same time, I'm glad it is done. I can actually get some sleep this weekend, so.
Yeah. And play some FF7.
Yes, I will be doing that. Trying to finish that up. Probably won't.
Fingers crossed. Where are you currently at?
Not too far past where I told you I was last time.
Drongaga?
Yeah. Driving around a little vehicle, going into the jungle.
Okay, yeah, you are not even going to come close to finishing.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to keep playing
it. Life. Yeah, just as long as you don't let it fall by the wayside.
Yeah. Final Shape's going to take up a lot of time, but also it's going to be like a year of content, so I don't necessarily need to...
You don't got to eat the whale in one bite.
Yes, exactly. I don't have to eat through it all like I did the Pantheon, which was, hey, this is around until Final Shape
limited
launches,
time content,
which is fucking Tuesday, and the game will be down Monday. So I kind of was in panic mode this week trying to finish it.
Yeah.
Which it's been an extremely popular mode, so I'm sure it's going to come back. But when it does, it's not going to be the same title.
Yeah, at the time there was no guarantee of that.
Yeah.
So what have you been playing, Joe?
Well, if you guys tuned in on Sunday, Wheels and I did try some X Defiant, so I've been playing that. That is Ubisoft copying Call of Duty, but with characters and maps from various Ubisoft games. So it's free to play, which is its really saving grace, I would say. So it helped me to kind of scratch that Call of Duty itch, you know. And so I was playing it, and I've had some really good matches and some horrible ones, and I think the game definitely needs some more work and some more balancing, which I'm sure will happen.
That's pretty normal.
Yeah. So the thing is that it scratched the itch, but then I was like, I want to play Call of Duty now. So So the Modern Warfare 3 multiplayer is like free this weekend, so I jumped into that for a couple hours today, and I'm like, oh, this is actually fine, you know.
Now you can wait around until Black Ops 6 shows up on Game Pass.
Well, the thing is, I don't like the Black Ops games. I like the Modern Warfare.
You like the MW
games?
Really
on 6? What the fuck?
Yeah, I was weirded out when I saw 6, but I think Cold War was 5, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
Didn't one of them not have a campaign?
Yeah, that was 4.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Black Ops 4 was awful, and then Black Ops Cold War was...
4 was also extremely strange because it's one of those weird things where it's like, we did a Roman numeral 4, what, like IV? No, 4 eyes.
No.
Which, to be fair, in some styles of clockmaking, the 4 eyes was actually allowed.
Yeah, it's not that it's per se wrong, it's just weird. Like, I don't know why you do it.
It's not the norm anymore. or rarely was the norm, even in their very specific design decisions.
Fireminer says, haven't you heard Call of Duty now has a Gundam collaboration?
Yeah, I heard that. I was a little weirded out by that.
Collabs are kind of the thing now. Like, they just announced a Destiny Dungeons & Dragons collab.
Dungeons & Destiny.
Yeah. If anyone doesn't like that kind of thing, I think it's fun and awesome. Who really cares?
I have too much respect for what Gundam is.
I don't play them.
But you can all blame it on Fortnite, because I think that's where the trend kind of started.
This trend has lived on
in the Japanese multiplayer games sphere for decades now.
That's true.
Yeah. I have too much respect for what Gundam's thematic core is to be willing to accept this, but I mean, it is what it is.
It has a thematic core? It's not just giant robots?
Gundam is a deeply, like, horrors of war series.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
One day I'll sit you down and make you watch Gundam 0080 War in the Pocket.
Is there a manga I can read instead? Because I've kind of grown
tired. Gundam The Origin is a good one.
Okay.
That's a retelling of the original Gundam.
Honestly, after starting reading One Piece, like, my...
You've realized how much you prefer that pacing.
Yeah, just like my tolerance for filler has gone to like zero.
Well, part of the reason I was going to recommend War in the Pocket, aside from it being one of the best Gundams, is that it's only 6 episodes.
Okay, perfect, perfect.
That's great.
Yeah, point me where I can watch that sometime. I will definitely.
I'll figure out where that's streamable, because War in the Pocket is one of the best anime I've ever seen.
Oh damn.
Yeah. Okay. So the only other thing I was going to say about playing Call of Duty today was just I go in there as a level 1. With like nothing, and there are these level 200, level 300, you know, all these crazy high level people who clearly spent a lot of money on microtransactions, and I'm best in game or top 3, and I'm just kicking their asses. I'm like, yeah, you wasted your money. So then, as part of my Metroidvania event, I did do SteamWorld Dig 1 and 2 a little bit.
Nice.
Those are great games. Two more so than one, because like I played two first and then tried to go back and do one, and it's like, oh, okay, like this is fine, but everything was improved in the sequel, I would say. Graphics, sound design, everything. So I did that, and then I tried out that Zelda 2 PC game. The guy took the whole game and recreated it in Game Maker, but then also changed stuff. That's kind of like a really extensive ROM hack.
Did he make it not suck?
I think it was fine, but... Yeah, Zelda 2 Enhanced PC Remake. It's a fan-made game, so I checked that out the other day, but then my dad kept texting me, and I'm like, oh, I better end the stream and call him back. So that's what happened the other day. So X Defiant, Call of Duty, SteamWorld Dig, and that.
If anyone wants like a physical copy of SteamWorld Dig, I recommend picking up SteamWorld Dig 2 because it actually comes with the first game too. If you get both those games, physical copy. I don't think a lot of people actually know that.
I'm pretty sure I've got the first game as a download on my Vita. Because I actually had some money on that account, and I just was buying everything random I could find on sale.
I think I actually have two on my 3DS.
Yeah, I think SteamWorld Dig is a game you definitely got a free copy of from somewhere.
Probably, yeah.
At some point. I think I have a free copy on PS4, and I still bought it on Steam for a buck. So. Yeah. Have I been playing anything else? Not really. I mean, you know what? Oh, the other thing I want to talk about. Granblue Fantasy versus Rising. That's the second fighting game. I picked that up on sale.
Yeah, the expanded version.
Yeah, that was on sale for $40. That's on PS4, PS5, and PC, Steam. So, but it's got crossplay. So if you guys wanted to pick that up at some point on any platform, we could still play it. So yeah, I was playing that a little bit because it has all the DLC characters from the previous one, plus a whole bunch of new characters, and then more DLC if you want. But you can unlock the DLC characters with in-game currency, that's good, but they're wicked expensive and the payouts are kind of garbage. So it probably would take months to save up just for, like, one.
Jeez.
What it is there's daily and weekly quests that get you money, but almost all of them are play online. So, yeah, this doesn't really work for me. And then I did play a little bit of Street Fighter 6 just to check out Akuma, and I finally played some ranked for the first time, and I didn't realize that each character ranks separately now. So I did some placement matches with Ken and Zangief and got placed in silver for both. It was like, oh, that was a good feeling, because I never made it past super bronze in Street Fighter 5. So, yeah, and there were a lot of Akuma players who don't really know how to use him yet. So, you know, rack up.
Hooray!
You know?
So you're saying you wrecked them all.
Not all of them, but yeah.
Do you number yourself among them?
No, I tried Akuma a little bit, but, I mean, he's complicated. He's a glass cannon. So a person who knows what they're doing, they can kill you in, like, two combos. A person who doesn't know what they're doing, like, they'll just blow through their whole meter and you just crush them.
And obliterate themselves.
Yeah, it just depends on how good the person using him is. But I'm using Zangief with classic controls, and I'm fighting against people using modern controls, and I think I pissed a lot of people off. You know, doing my spinning pile driver and all that. But this one Akuma player, I think it was Akuma, I'm playing as Zangief, he keeps jumping. So I keep doing the air pile driver.
The air SPD, yeah.
Yeah, I just keep doing it, and he keeps jumping into it. It's like, all right, like.
Just gonna give it to me, sure. Yeah,
and you know, and then you do the running.
I'll keep doing this until you learn, buddy.
I do the running Siberian suplex, and some people still don't know that it has armor. They don't know that all you have to do is jump, and then you can go right into a jumping combo. And it's like, no, but. And then with Ken, you know, I was kind of spamming the same two or three combos, but people also kept walking into the Wake Up EX Dragon Punch, so I kept doing it. Yeah. So that was fun. I've been watching some videos about some of the patches and some of the changes. Just every character has, like, new combos now, just because they changed the frame data just a little bit. And
yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know about all of that, but it's like, yeah, I was watching some videos that are like, okay, like, I can see some combos that weren't possible before that I might actually be able to pull off, so that was cool to see. Yep. That's all I got. Dave, what have you been playing?
So I haven't been able to play anything that requires any kind of brain power at all. I realized that I had... So, just recently, the new Mad Max movie Furiosa just came out. So,
have you seen it?
I have not yet. Okay. I intend to, but I have not yet.
It's good.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, Fury Road was really good. Like, I don't expect it to be as good as Fury Road, but I don't know that I've seen many action movies that are. But the new Mad Max movie just came out, so it's like, oh, I'll I realized that at some point in my Steam library, I'd gotten the 2015 Mad Max game. So I pulled that onto the deck, and I've been dicking around with that. It's the most 2015 video game. It has Batman Arkham Combat. It has an open world with Ubisoft towers in it. It has a lot of just sort of open world, sort of driving busy work. It's not bad, but it is like there's a whole dust up around it because George Miller, when just sort of answering interviews off the cuff around Furiosa, mentioned that he wasn't super satisfied with the game, and that there was a dust up around that because the developers behind the game, Avalanche Studios, they people who had worked on it took offense at that, which was like, I get why they're defensive of their work. They did a good job. It's a well crafted game, But I also get why he's not super satisfied with it. It has the look of Mad Max, but there's just stuff about it that I feel like is not an ideal adaptation of the pacing and styling. I think the thing that stuck out to me the most when playing the opening hour was that it takes like 10 minutes until you're actually playing game. And like Road Warrior, Fury Road, they're both pretty quick to get into action.
Mm.
And I feel like to adapt that properly, you should be touching controls within like 2 minutes. There's just a lot of little things that like it doesn't have the degree of manic energy that I personally would have preferred for it, but it's a good game. It is not a bad game by any means. But yeah, George Miller sort of like off the cuff said that he kind of wanted to see what a Mad Max game directed by Hideo Kojima would have looked like, and I admit I would be fascinated by that product. But he brings up that like that there's like the dude's too busy with his own projects, that would never happen, but it's like that's his ideal partnership to work with, which I'm sure made Kojima endlessly pleased, because he is an even by his usual effusive love of film, he fucking loves Mad Max.
As he should.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it seems like a property that deserves should fit a video game very well.
It's one of those things that, like, what I would say is that Mad Max obviously has every ingredient you need for an incredible game, but Mad Max is also, like, you know how you'll get those, you'll get dishes, like, the way I've heard it described, it's like there are dishes that prove how good a chef is by just, like, the quality of ingredients and how they're put together. Like, Mad Max is really simple. Like, it's a simple dish in terms of what it's actually doing. It has very mythological storytelling. Like, very broad and direct. And it eschews any sort of attempt to build in more than broad continuity. It's all very playing at the emotions, but in a way that's very like what's here and now. And it's one of those things that like all the ingredients are obviously there to make a great game, because like it's, you know, raw action and very broad emotional storytelling. But, you know, it ends up coming down to the sheer talent of the people working in it, working with those ingredients, is what determines its quality. Like, if Mad Max The Wasteland, which is, like, the proposed fifth, like, Mad Max movie, if I were to see news that, like, oh, George Miller won't be directing that one, I would have a lot of concerns.
Mm.
And, you know, that's something we're going to have to live with, because he is a nearly 80-year-old man. But, so, you know, there's no telling whether we ever end up, whether we end up getting to see him direct that. But it is one of those things, it's like, so much of it is in the execution of someone who's a master of the craft. But yeah, so yeah, I played some of the. It runs perfectly on Steam Deck. Like it's a very Steam Deck sort of game. It looks good. It used production materials from pre-release Fury Road, so it captures the look very well. There's just a lot of little things where it's like, oh, this doesn't have it's like a very high quality B+ sort of game, but it doesn't have the masterful craftsmanship of something like Fury Road.
Who published that game? Was it a WB?
Yeah, that was a WB game.
Okay.
Yep, it was.
Makes sense.
But yeah. In conclusion, if you haven't watched it, go watch the Road Warrior and Fury Road.
Mm.
And honestly, Mad Max 1 and Beyond Thunderdome aren't half bad either. But
yeah, I'm still bummed I never saw Fury Road in a movie theater.
Yeah, I saw it
in theater. IMAX screen.
Because, like, the buzz that I was seeing for it was immediately like, no, you have to see this. And so I saw that one in theaters, and it was one of the few things that I was like, I need to pick this up on Blu-ray.
Seriously.
It's, a gorgeous, gorgeous
thing. How often does, like, a straight action movie get nominated for Best Picture?
It's rare. Yeah. And it's also, like, rare that it's like, oh, that was 100% earned.
Yeah, no.
Like, that is a, like, I remember someone once describing that film as being essentially two connected action scenes. And, like, there's really no, like, that's, if we talk about
not it structurally, wrong. That kind,
yeah, if we talk about it structurally, that's correct, and it's like, that's what tells you how masterfully it was put together, was that, like, that it could make that structure work, because on paper, that sounds exhausting. But yeah, die historic on the Fury Road. And to think that film was delayed like 14 years. It was originally supposed to start production in 2001.
Oh wow!
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 And then suddenly, like travel in late 2001 suddenly became very difficult for some reason. But yeah, so yeah, in conclusion, I recommend that everyone just go watch Mad Max Fury Road. If you've seen it, you already know that that still applies to you.
Yes, and then see Furiosa.
Yeah, 100%. I wanna...
also good. My only complaint was I felt like it had too much CG to like practical effect ratio.
Yeah, that's a bit of a shame because Fury Road had, like, you know, those points where we were seeing, like, oh yeah, we did make the flamethrower, the guitar that shoots fire.
Yes. Oh, man.
That's the realities of modern filmmaking.
Yeah.
And I would suspect that George Miller still does it better than anyone, so...
He does, for sure.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, honestly... That's what honestly, like, the biggest complaint I can have about the movie is it's the fact that it's a prequel, I think, holds it back, and there's not really...
It gives it fewer, less dramatic weight,
right.
Yeah.
And there's not really much you can do about that, but as far as, like, sitting down and being entertained for 2.5 hours, you'd be hard-pressed to find something better that's come out recently.
Yeah. And I always I appreciate the, you know, they've been talking about wanting to make this for like 9 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. It's in excellent casting, also.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Everyone kills it.
Mm-hmm. I still think about like a lot of the lines. Just like again to go back to Fury Road, I still think a lot about like half the lines in that. Did you hear that? I had a brother, and he was perfect in every way. Like, all that shit, like, just lives in my head forever. Do not grow dependent upon water. You will grow to resent its absence. Yeah, just, yeah, especially, I will say one last thing, it's that especially in a... world that has more and more grown dependent upon like strict continuity and shit, I appreciate the commitment to like you can maybe try to arrange these in a coherent order, but it's not really gonna work because they're all sort of like, you know, they're legends of the wasteland.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Okay, but yeah. So we had some news today.
There was lots of news, stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, okay.
We're going to talk about that now. Good.
Yeah, there was the State of Play.
State of Play, after said company apparently fucked up.
Oh god, yeah, do you want to talk about that since it affected you?
Yeah, I mean I don't know all the details because I have.
Yeah, you're obviously deliberately avoiding that.
But apparently Sony released the final shape early. That's kind of a huge fuck up.
Yeah.
But yeah, state of play is, still find them very boring, so I didn't really bother by missing it. Is there anything interesting other than an Astro's Playroom game?
Yes and no. I mean, so the first game they let off with looks like it's going to be this really cool game, and then it's just a stupid 5v5 Overwatch clone.
Oh god, we're still doing those?
Are you talking about the Marvel game, or is it... No, that's Sony's game.
Sony's game, Concord, is
there's
just
also the Marvel
Overwatch
game that they showed during that.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, jeez. Okay. I didn't watch that part of it. I thought that was just being ported from another platform. I thought that was like a mobile port or something. Yeah. No, so Concord is, you've got basically Asian Tracer and Green Alien McGraw.
And I'm looking at him. God, he looks awful.
Yeah, and like then and then Yellow Bastion. And I'm just like, yeah, this is stupid. Okay.
Yellow Bastion.
Yeah.
This is going to go great.
I know.
This really feels like striking while the iron is quite cold.
Yeah,
seriously. So it's coming out in August, so it must have been in development for...
Oh, it must have been in development for at least 3 or 4 years, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that. And then there were two Souls-like kind of games. One looked like Elden Ring, the other looked more like Nioh. And, like, sure, why not? I don't even remember the names, though, just to give me an idea of what I...
Yeah, so there was
excited I am.
Something called Infinity Nikki.
Oh, that... That is, like... You know, that kind of looked interesting, but for, like, teenage girls. So,
yeah.
Like, that looked like Dark Souls for teenage girls.
It at least means that, like, it's a game that's not aimed squarely at, like, 20 to 30-something dudes.
Like me, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not 20 to 30.
Wow. Not even letting him live the fantasy.
I'm 38. I thought you just meant 30s.
Yeah, I meant 30s.
Yeah, no, you're closer to beyond that, sir.
Yeah, well, whatever. So,
it's fine, embrace it.
And then God of War Ragnarok is getting the inevitable PC port.
They're really not doing a good job of explaining why you should have a PS5.
No. Not anymore.
It's a bad
the Astro
system,
game
folks.
It's really cool.
It.
No, it's fine.
Dude,
you
on.
Don't.
It's not.
If you have a high-end computer, you don't need either console.
What is there on PS5 that you can't?
I don't think
he's
disagreeing
well?
With you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Actually, nothing really.
Yeah. So you got Until Dawn. That's also coming to PS5 and PC.
Well, what's weird about that though is, when you play it on PS5, it runs at uncapped frame rate, so it's 60 frames per second on PS5 already.
Mm-hmm.
The original Until Dawn, so I don't know why that needed new version.
Well, big ol' air quotes around needed, but I think Sony just needed something to fill out the release schedule, so...
Yeah.
More remasters, baby! Get used to... I'm so excited for when we have to sit through them. Trying to sell until then Horizon Zero Dawn remake, and it's just like stop.
That's not really happening, is it?
There's been a lot of rumors as to that happening.
Okay.
But
you know, can we get an Infamous remake? No. Can we get a Killzone remake? No.
We can't get remakes of games you can't already play. That'd be silly.
Yeah. Can we get a Little Big Planet remake? No. Can we get another Sackboy game? No.
Oh, Dynasty Warriors Origins?
Don't care.
That's still such a weird name to give it. It's Dynasty Warriors, but it seemed to have more focus on, like, some of them had like a mode where you could create your own Three Kingdoms general. So I think this is more emphasis on that.
Okay. Sounds fun, maybe.
I know Dynasty Warriors fans who seem to be digging what they're showing. So.
And then there was a whole bunch of Monster Hunter crap that I don't care about.
Yeah, they did a Monster Hunter Wild. You done now?
No.
He'll never be done.
Okay, I'm good.
Okay, but yeah, they showed a Monster Hunter Wilds trailer. That's still set for 2025. Not much else to be said about it. It's Monster Hunter. They showed some more Silent Hill 2 remake and confirmed that for October, as you'd expect for a horror game. I still don't trust Bloober Team at all. So, I mean, do what you want.
It's Bloober Team. Well, The Medium was fine. I thought they were going to do a sequel to that. Guess not.
They've done like a bazillion things. They have a bad track record with symbolism, so we'll see where they go.
Okay.
But there's a part of me that's still like unfair, and like the most unfair thing I can say is that like I can't trust anyone who having an infinite choice of names goes with Bloober Team. But
isn't that the name of the fish or the squids in Super Mario Bros? No.
I think
those are bloopers.
Blooper. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I tried to defend them, but yeah, you're right. It's a dumb name.
Yeah. So looking at it, also they showed a new Astrobot game. That wasn't surprising per se because the Astrobot team is the only thing they retained from Japan Studio, and they destroyed every other part of it. So we knew that had to happen. But it's nice to see. It's nice to see, again, a game that isn't just aimed at 20 to 30. I'm just thinking about the setup for the Nuts and Gum joke in The Simpsons. Like, I'm a white male, age 18 to 39. Everyone listens to what I have to say, no matter how bad my ideas are. So new Astrobot game. Still looks good. I mean, it's Astrobot. If you have a PS5, you own the last Astrobot game, and that's probably one of the better games you could play on your PS5, so... you should all be happy for that much, at least. It was a pretty staid sort of state of play, which I don't think anyone really had a right to expect much different, given that... like, if Sony had cards to play, they'd have played them by now, because this year has been fucking barren for them. Other than the success of Helldivers, I should say. But
they almost derailed.
The state of play was about exactly what you'd expect. Marvelous actually did a different stream at the same time for some reason.
Marvelous.
Where they talked a bit more Marvelous. About Daemon X Machina 2.
Yes.
That mysteriously still doesn't have a platform that it's being released on. Weird. I wonder what it's for.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we're not getting any E3 this year at all, but we're still going to be getting these same press conferences that they've been doing around this time of year, so...
Oh, yeah. This is part of their marketing plan at this point, so someone's going to show it. So, like, between Summer Games Fest and every company that just does their own thing, everyone's still announcing shit. We know that Nintendo has something in June. That will be Switch, and very specifically not Switch 2, even though we also know that the Switch successor will be shown at some point in this fiscal year. We have a whole bunch of info. Speaking of Switch, I did want to bring up that someone noticed something truly deranged. So that Thousand Year Door remake that just came out, people found filing dates that show that it was submitted for like content rating in Germany over a year ago. Like, they'd just been sitting on it. Like, presumably, like, and there's rumors floating around that they have at least a couple of remakes or remasters that will be showing up on Switch after the Switch 2 comes out. So, Nintendo seems to be working to try to solve the issue of AAA games being deeply unreliable in terms of release schedules from the opposite direction by reaching a point where they have so many games in the pike that they can just slot, like, sit on them and slot them where they fit best. We've seen evidence of this over the past few years in different circumstances, like when Xenoblade 3 and Splatoon 3 swapped release dates.
That was weird.
Or the or how the implication was that they could have released Tears of the Kingdom like a year before and they just didn't because they had the luxury of time to just sit on it and polish it more.
That's why like so many of their releases are pretty polished when they come out. Like,
They hit content complete and just sort of are allowed to sit in this like polishing state for however long until they need to be out.
Yeah, Fireminer was asking for a verdict on that Paper Mario report, and I mean, seems wonderful.
I haven't picked it up yet. What I will say is that I saw some like YouTube videos that were showing off like some of the parts I really get frustrated with that are like backtracking, and it's just like, oh, they went to the trouble of trying to fix some of the late game quests where you're just going back around the world again to make them less obnoxious, and oh, thanks, you fixed the thing that actually pissed me off. So I now feel like I kind of owe it to them to actually pick it up and play the game again with a fresh mind. So check back with me in a few weeks.
Oh, Fireminer asks, is the future of first-party exclusives now being mid-budget games that studios can afford to be platform exclusive and also not so technically demanding, there won't be a noticeable improvement when playing on superior hardware?
I think that the issue you'll run into with that is that third parties would have basically no reason to abide by that, because like, if you've already engineered a game such that it could run on anything, why wouldn't you make it run on anything? First parties wouldn't be willing to pay the kind of money to make it worthwhile to keep it exclusive. And first parties, are kind of in the business of, not really loss leadering, because, their big budget games cost a lot of money, but they are in the business of, the money comes through not just in the sales of the game, but in the sense that it entices people to the platform. So, I think that it would be wise for them to invest more in mid-budget games. I don't know that any of the current first parties, except maybe Nintendo, is actually interested in doing that. One last bit of news that I did want to bring up, because it reminded me of something that made me sad, but it did make me happy. The last game from Arcane Austin, Redfall, which is not a great game, but it was a game that was at risk of becoming unplayable because it was an always online game, and they had talked about since launch that they were going to try to make it so you could play it offline, and it is getting a final patch that will actually include an offline mode. So even though it's not a great game, it's good that it will be playable. That counts for something. Yeah.
Yeah, I played it for an hour when it came out, and that was it.
Yeah, I might play it once that final patch hits the next time that I have Game Pass, so that I can just sort of experience what it was and whether it had any ideas that worked. But yeah, so... Yeah, just wanted to bring that up because it was one of those things that was like, oh, that was nice to see that, because I knew that allegedly that had been the next patch in the works, but people weren't sure if that patch would ever come out because of them shattering Arcane Austin. So it's nice to know that at the very least it won't be a game lost to time. But yeah, I think we have like a bunch of upcoming like over the next month or so, we're gonna have a bunch of publishers doing their like, this is our fall slate. Yep. There's a few that I know I'm looking to keep track of the general internal or the general buzz for, say, like, apparently BioWare is finally at a point where they're about ready to take the wraps off of Dragon Age 4. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Because the alleged claims are that they're at a point where they're very happy with how the game has progressed to this point, and they're ready to finally show it off. But seemingly the intention is that it'll be like the same sources seem to imply that the intention is that it comes out this year.
How long has it been in development?
It was first announced in 2018.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Or was it 2019? One or the other, but like, whichever one it...
Yeah.
Yeah, Dragon Age Dreadwolf. I think they like announced it at like a Game Awards where it was just a teaser. I think there's a... I plug this channel a lot, but a guy who used to work at BioWare and I think is currently doing consulting on Dreadwolf during the period where he wasn't talked a bit about the game's what he suspected the game's development was like, and he sort of brought up that part of the reason it was likely announced as early as it was to protect it from being cancelled. Because once it's public, it becomes much more painful to kill it.
Okay.
But... so that's kind of one of the ones that I'm looking out for. I'm not sure if there's anything else that we're like looking to show up at like Summer Games Fest or anything else, but
yeah. Well, Microsoft finally released Hellblade 2, a game I didn't care about, and people are just saying like, wow, these are the best graphics I've ever seen, but it's only 5 hours long, you know.
I mean, that was Hellblade 1 as well.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I don't know.
Games are... There's too many fucking long games. That
sounds, yeah, there's a lot of games I would say could stand
for
shorter.
I'm always saying how, oh man, I'm burned out on these big open world games, and then it's like, wait, this one's only 5 hours? Yeah. But yeah, I just never had any interest in it, though, because I didn't like the first one that much.
But I think people need to get out of the mindset of that being a bad thing.
Yeah. If it's a good experience, like a good 5 hour experience is worth a lot to me. But I feel bad that the context I've seen that the most in is like this truly deranged tweet that's just like zooming in on the eyeballs of a bunch of characters from AAA games and like saying like which one looks the best, and it's like, I think all of these are mismanaged resources. I think all of these are a bad idea. Because like if you're able to, like, but especially for, like, an open-world game, like, super close in on a character's eyes and still see incredible amounts of detail, that's a sign of mismanaged resources. You have used money and, like, dev talent in a bad way. Because it's like, the player's never gonna do that outside of maybe if you added a photo mode. So all of your, like, assets have been engineered to such a degree that they look, like, extremely detailed in ways that a player is just never going to see. Like, it's real Tree Falls in a Forest shit. Like, do not build for that, because the kind of person who's looking, who's zooming in that hard, will never be satisfied with what they see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So are we gonna get Avowed by the end of the year, or what? What was the next big Microsoft game?
I think Avowed was the Obsidian thing.
Yeah.
And it's still set for 2024, so I suspect we'll probably, if that hasn't slipped, we'll probably see it.
Joe, I think the next big Microsoft game is Black Ops 4 or 6. Black Ops 6.
Oh, I didn't count that. Okay. Right. Well, that's going... Yeah, now it counts. So no, that one's going straight to Game Pass, which was surprising. I thought they'd put all the old ones on there first, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But it's kind of odd that Diablo 4 is on Game Pass, but not 2 or 3. You know, the 2 remaster.
I'm sure they'll get around to it eventually.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it looks like Avowed is still set for Q3 or Q4, so I suspect that if it hasn't slipped to 2025, we'll see info on it.
Okay. Yeah, within the next couple weeks when they do their next...
Yeah, they're doing their, like, Microsoft...
Their non-E3 presentation. Yeah.
Yeah, their Xbox Game Showcase in, like, early June.
Okay. And we already know that Nintendo's working on the next console, and...
So. Yeah, we know they've got some sort of thing to explain their second half of 2024 lineup coming in June, so...
I was just reading something that there's rumors now that Splatoon 3 is not going to get any more content updates, but that doesn't mean it's a dead game or anything like that. It just means they're just not going to add any more content, but it already has plenty. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's already a pretty robust game. So.
And you can still play Splatoon 2. Splatoon 1 yeah. only went down because...
The Wii U's entire infrastructure went away.
But that can still be played single player, though, or the single player mode, anyways, would still be.
Yeah, that single player mode still exists. It's not a very good single player mode, but it's there.
No. Yeah, which is good. I'm always arguing that every game should have some type of
not online content.
Yeah. So now that Wheels is finally playing Relink, we may be able to do co-op, which probably won't happen for another month because of Destiny. But we'll see.
No, I'll play it on. We'll play it on Shenanigans.
Oh,
sense as a Shenanigans game.
But we're going to do, what is it? Shinakuma Mirror Matches.
Oh, yeah. It won't be this week's Shenanigans, but okay. It'll be a Shenanigans.
Yeah. Yeah, Relink is a good candidate for that. And and so Relink is a game that I have on PS5, and it's like, oh, yeah, this is maybe not, you know, we're talking about exclusives. It's like, yeah, you can play it on PC and PS4, but it's like, it's one of those games that I'm just like, oh yeah, this is something worth mentioning if we want to talk about PS5 games that you can't play on other consoles.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like they're making a poor argument for why people who play games on PC should ever pick up PlayStations.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I have all the systems, so I don't know.
Yeah.
At this point, I have to buy games on PS5 because it's the only one that has hard drive space left.
Yes. Because it's one way to get people to actually buy games for that.
Yeah.
Well, then it eventually runs out and says, like, well, where do I go now?
Yeah, so let's say all the Call of Duty games go to Game Pass. It's like, well, how many can you have installed at the same time? Like, one. Like, 150 gigabytes each.
Yeah.
Poor. That's too many gigabytes, please. But
here's the solution. Please. Uninstall them all.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Profit.
Yep. What do I gotta do? Well, no, do you think Call of Duty on Game Pass will really push console sales? I mean, I'm not sure.
I don't think it'll push console sales, but I think they want it to push Game Pass subs.
Yeah, okay.
Because, like, if they wanted it to push console sales, they would have made it so that it was on Game Pass only on consoles, but they've announced that it'll be on Game Pass on everything.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So that's them really betting the farm that they can get a big sub boost on Game Pass, and I'm not sure that's wise, but I mean it's the choice they've made.
Yep. Yeah, so the thing with Granblue Fantasy is that Gran and Jita are like the same. Well, they're not the same person, but you know what I mean? It's they have the same abilities and everything.
The Ryu and Ken.
Yeah, it is only
any of these people are.
It's only an aesthetic choice. In the fighting game, they both have the exact same movesets. Yeah. And yeah, there's the ditzy damsel in distress.
But when is the Shadowverse crossover?
What? Oh God. The heck is Shadowverse?
I think that's Cygames'
collectible card game.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's yeah. Anime Hearthstone.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, Cygames does own both.
They do. And there have been Grand Blue characters in Shadowverse.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, the new fighting game has the Nier Automata girl as a DLC.
That's weird.
Yeah, because she just shows up in everything.
Yeah, looks like it. Oh.
This game is pretty.
Yeah. Are you playing in performance mode? Cause it or visual mode? They're both fine. I'm just saying. This game looks like very good in performance mode, actually, and but still performs well in quality mode as well. So this is well done, I'd say.
I forgot that I was now living in a world where I can actually watch the stream. I feel like a fool.
Yeah, so this game is mostly single player, but then there are these two co-op missions that you can do. There's a whole bunch of them, and you can redo them to get higher scores too. So there were a couple that I did where I got like a B, and then when I leveled up some more and redid them, then I got the S, and it was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. I'm going to do that and still get rewarded.
Fireman says there are several Shadowverse and Rage of Bahamut crossover in Grand Blue.
Oh, interesting. Well, you're fighting Bahamut right now.
What is Rage of Bahamut?
I think it's an anime. Yeah, the game can get a little. It can get a little button mashy, but it is fun. And then you know you have a whole party. You only control one person, but you can choose who you control at any time, and then you unlock additional. Characters. No, it's really neat. I like the way it's structured, and you know, and you have AI teammates who are actually competent.
So it's a Tails game, essentially.
Yeah.
And Fireminer asking the really, really obscure questions.
Oh god. Forget Devil.
Oh dear. What is he asking?
Dino Crisis or God Hand? Why haven't Capcom remade their most important PS2 release, Glass Rose? I don't even know what that is.
It never came out in North America. It's like a point. It's like an adventure game.
He asked four times.
It was co-developed by Sing, the company that made Another Code and Hotel Dusk.
But which company?
Thing, C-I-N-G.
Oh, okay. I was like, for a moment, I thought you meant like X-ing, X-I-N-G, and that was like, wait a moment. I thought they went bankrupt, like, never mind, around 2003. Okay.
Yeah, but no, there were a company called Thing, who tragically also went bankrupt in 2010. But they would have most been remembered for, like I said, Another Code, which just got a remake. And Hotel Dusk. But yeah, it's a real, especially in America, it's extremely obscure. Like, I'd fire back with, when are they going to remake Gregory Horror Show? But Gregory Horror Show was technically a licensed game. If you've ever... Gregory Horror Show is an extremely strange game, but kind of neat. It's like... survival horror game for 10-year-olds.
Okay.
Like you're,
You mean Five Nights at Freddy's? What?
No, I mean actual survival horror. Like you're a little cube man running around like a hotel called the Gregory House, and trying to avoid getting menaced by all of its ghoulish inhabitants while stealing their souls while they're not looking. It's an interesting little game. That one is another Capcom game that only came out in Japan and Europe. It's tied into a two-season CG anime from like 2003. It was kind of neat. Capcom, especially at the time, like, I mean, Capcom is one of those companies that like just makes like good games. Basically all the time. It's very rare to get like a Capcom game that's like, oh, this is bad. Like, you can get ones that like don't turn out great, but it's rare to get one where it's like, oh, this is just bad. And so you can get some weird stuff if you dig into their back catalog. You get that, you get like Chaos Legion. There is it's a question. Oh god, I'm not ready for this, but I'll pop into the wheels. Discord to pick it.
Yeah, the wheels. The funny thing about Relink is that, like, every chapter their ship gets destroyed and then they have to rebuild it.
Oh, it's so their ship,
the ship just gets destroyed over and over again, and it's kind of funny. And they're just like, oh yeah, we fixed it. And like, I'm like, okay.
Sounds more like Gilligan's Island fantasy version.
Gilligan Blue Fantasy.
No, I'm on like chapter 5, and the ship has been destroyed and rebuilt 3 times already. That's funny.
We just need to use the coconuts to the radio headset.
There was a question about Druckmann versus Kojima, and it's like, well, so one thing worth talking about though is Neil Druckmann apparently did not actually say most of the things he was quoted as saying in that recent interview, and Sony took it down.
It's unclear, like, how much of it he said, because Sony was the only source on it, and Sony took it down saying that they had said it all wrong. So it's unclear how much, if any, of that interview was real. Okay. One of those things where it's like, oh, this is a super good reminder of why you don't want a company to have full jurisdiction to be both to like blur the line between like corporate PR and like developer interview. Like, it's super unclear like how that was allowed to happen. Okay, so some quick okay, so I'm looking for things that are about okay. Had The Last of Us 2 been made into a feature film, would it be a better experience? I know everyone says that Kojima wants to be a film director at the bottom of his heart, but I feel like it's more apt to say that about Neil Druckmann. Like, I'm gonna be clear. I didn't bother playing The Last of Us 2 because I could not be arsed to finish Last of Us 1. I thought it was boring. What I will say is that based on my observations, like, the thing that would hold back Last of Us 2 from being a movie is that it's too goddamn long. But like, yeah, if we take that apart and remove the and just imagine, like, if we ignore that and we just imagine like this narrative as a non-interactive experience, I think what you'd run into is that it would just be a not super compelling film. You know, there's always the argument that comes in that, like, game writing is bad. It's not, for XYZ reasons, people say that. And
it's just balanced and set up differently.
Yeah.
I mean, the medium is different.
Yeah, I think that like people underestimate like aspects of how feeling connected to the story by helping it play out causes people to invest in games in a very different way than in film or books or anything else. But I do think that like the issue you run into the issues people had with the narrative of Last of Us Part Two would have been exactly the same. Like the gameplay was generally not what people had an issue with in Last of Us Part Two. I find it boring, but I know that there are plenty of people who like how The Last of Us plays, like the actual moment-to-moment stealth into shootout gameplay of The Last of Us Part II definitely has fans. I don't think it would have been... I would argue it would have been received worse if you took out all of that gameplay that people do have positive feelings about and just made it rest on this narrative that was essentially always going to be divisive for a litany of reasons, good and bad. Like you go back to it and it's just like you can find every kind of complaint about The Last of Us Part Two, and some of them I think are good and some of them I think are bad, but like the narrative was destined to be divisive. The gameplay is likely the thing that kept a lot of people going who didn't like the game, the narrative. And so I think that removing the gameplay could probably only have made it worse. But at the same time, like, I think that, like, I think Druckmann is an uninteresting designer. So... like, that was never going to help on my opinions on it. The thing I would say about Kojima is that he definitely loves film, and he loves to incorporate, you know, filmic storytelling into his games. But he has, like, strong attachments to interactivity. He's mentioned in interviews that, like, directing a film is still a dream of his. It's just one that he considers to be something he sort of has to let go of. Like, he doesn't think he will, because of how busy the rest of his life will be, like, you know, he's making a game that its target platform is PS6. Like, he's going to be... and he is like 60 at this point. Like, he is going to be busy for a very long time. But ultimately, that's the choice he made. Like, he ultimately chose that, like, this medium is one that means a lot to him. Let's see.
So, like, two more questions, then call it a night.
Yeah.
Well, I was only going to say that I think Neil Druckmann would be a better filmmaker, whereas Kojima is definitely a better game designer.
Better game designer.
So the thing with Last of Us Part II, if you took out all of the gameplay, then it would still play out the exact same way, because Neil Druckmann doesn't believe in giving players any choices. You know, so the ending of The Last of Us is the same no matter how you play it. Joel makes a choice, not the player. And that's, you know, I think that the first game should have had two endings.
I think at one point it was actually supposed to.
Yeah, and then they could have just decided which one was canon. Whereas Part 2 should have been split into two scenarios, or even two entire games. That's like a 30-hour slog.
Yeah, I do think that it was ill-advised to make that something that you played all at once, simply because, like, that kind of game should not be 30 hours long.
No, it should have been two games, or at least two scenarios, you know, for Ellie and Abby. That's what I would say about that. I think Kojima... Yeah. I'm not sure Kojima would make a good movie, is what I'm saying, but he makes good games. And, you know, even though Metal Gear Solid games do have a lot of cutscenes and dialogue and stuff, I think it serves the game in a good way. And you know, Metal Gear Solid, you had choices that could impact the game, like whether or not...
Submission of torture and that sort of thing.
But... Yeah, whether or not the female character dies, and... Yeah. But... If you tried to turn Last of Us Part 2 into a movie, it would be no different from the game. It would just, everything would play out the exact same way, and people would still be upset about the same things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Last of Us Part 2 just felt so dated because it was in development for so long, and it was like, oh, there were so many other survival horror games and action stealth games that came out in that time that was just like, oh yeah, this kind of feels like going backwards. Like,
yeah, it just feels like playing Last of Us 1 again.
Right, and it's like, so how many Tomb Raider games and Resident Evil games came out in that time? And Last of Us Part 2, like... The Last of Us games are a mix of stealth, survival horror, crafting, action, but games that focus on just one of those things tend to be better. I think Uncharted was the better action game, and Tomb Raider was a better stealth game, and Resident Evil 7 and 8 were better survival horror games, you know? That's how I felt about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas I didn't play much of Death Stranding, but that's not because I don't want to. It's like, it gets off to a slow start, but I got to a point where it was giving me more freedom of where to go, and then I learned how to actually, like, fight enemies, and I was, like, just beating people up with my fists, so I'm like, oh, okay, this is neat. All right, I like this. I can play this. All right. So what's the next question?
Is Atelier Judy a good game, and why almost no one remembers the PS2 Atelier games? Because they were mid, including Mannequin.
I think that also has to do with the fact that we didn't get half of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's referring to the ones we did get, though.
Well, we didn't get Judy, was what I was bringing up.
But we didn't get Judy.
Right.
But we did not get Lily, Judy, or Violet. And those were the three classic Ateliers for PS2.
Yeah.
How many Atelier games are there?
Many.
20-something?
Okay.
Really depends on how you count the series together and whether or not the portables count, because Gust is a little iffy on those.
I got Atelier on PC, and it was kind of wasn't optimized very well, and I didn't get very far.
That one wasn't that was not the best port. Switch handled it very well. Okay, so for the three classic Ateliers on PS2, the ones that are actually part of the the ones that are actually in the same chronology as the original game.
Yeah.
So Lily had issues.
Yeah, I know that one launched real rough.
issues of the sort where the plus version of the game was released 9 months later.
This is our bug fix now.
I'm just going to keep spinning my giant red wrench, and if you get in the way and get hit, it's your own fault. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, you could technically complete the game in the original version, the release version, except there were a couple of plot tags plot flags that failed to activate.
Yeah, I was going to say, weren't there
was an entire quest line that was impossible to fulfill, so you were never able to get the best ending in the game.
Incredible.
Which is why the plus version sells for, last time I bothered to check a few years ago, it sold for about, let's say, 15 times more than the original version, but that's mainly because the original version was like 200 to 300 yen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the plus version was like 3,000 plus.
It sounds like once it got fixed, people kind of like it, but, you know, it needed to be fixed.
Yeah. Judy and Violet both got PlayStation Portable ports. And Judy is also the one that gave us Pamela. She first showed up in Atelier Judy. So,
important.
The Gramnod games, Judy and Violet, had their own interesting mechanics that were experimented with, which some of these mechanics did not last past them. But they're definitely the more modern, the first two modern Ateliers in one sense or another. I am kind of surprised that they have not brought those more forward into the remix or remastering thing. But we will need to see how far Gust is willing to go post Atelier Marie remake.
Yeah, like we might end up going, not. Yeah, they might not have closed the book on that idea.
Quite possibly not. I mean, let's just see if they pull out Ellie, and if they do Ellie, they're probably going to remake Lily, and Lily has nowhere else to go but up.
Yeah.
For remakes. And if you just keep going from there, then you might as well just do the entire 5-game set.
Yeah, just get them all out.
Yeah. Especially since they are, I mean, they are legitimately linked by characters. So, yeah. It's worth a try. It's not like Iris or Manichemia where they are popping to a completely different sub-series. These 5 games are the same series.
Yeah.
There's a person.
Okay.
There's a person. Get back to the game wheels. There's a person.
Fireminer says... Fireminer says...
Yeah, okay. But basically, it's just they are... I mean, they have been remade. They have been ported to new things. They have had characters be prominent in crossover games, including a couple crossover games that actually came to America.
You're getting shot at.
So, not necessarily good crossover games, but they were there. So, and the most popular character from one of these games is still basically the company mascot at this point. So... Yeah, we can hope.
Are those just bots coming after you?
Yeah.
For the other 5 games, I have no idea. So.
Okay. Yeah. A couple more things from Fireminer in the chat. Only now that I remember, there was a PS2 and PSP Harvest Moon spinoff taking place in a future setting called Innocent Life. Yep, Innocent Life, a futuristic Harvest Moon. Glad to see even back then people felt Harvest Moon fatigue. Yeah, I mean, like, those games were coming out, like, once a year, oftentimes. Sometimes more, because, like, sometimes they'd have, like, one for handhelds and one for consoles in the same year, so they kind of needed to find things that would spice it up, which is where we got Rune Factory from, so. But, yeah, definitely one of those things where Innocent Life... was a neat idea, but I don't think, but never really got followed up on. What do you remember about Largo Winch, Empire Under Threat?
I have no idea.
Largo Winch is a Franco-Belgian comic series that obviously much more of a following in Europe. In America, they do have those comics have been translated in English.
Inflatable Tube Man.
They don't have much cultural cachet in America. I'll just put it that way. but
pretty mildly.
Yeah, like the Largo Winch game I'm more aware of was released around the same time on the PS1. Largo Winch Commando SAR, and that's one of the most dogshit PS1 games ever made, but I can't speak for Empire Under Threat. But don't play Commando SAR, it's really, really, really bad. And of course, unsurprisingly, Empire Under Threat seems to have never come out in North America at all, so... I would say it can't be any worse than Commando SAR, but I mean, God only knows. Sony of Europe allowed a lot of things that Sony of America did not. It could genuinely be horrendous. I would have no way of knowing.
All right.
But, yeah, one of those blind spots for me as far as culture. I am my Franco-Belgian comic knowledge is more in the Asterix and Tintin
Aston.
Realm.
Aston.
I'm not super familiar with that one either. But like I said, my Franco-Belgian knowledge. Oh, yeah, I do know Marcy Blamey.
Le Strumpf.
Well, of course.
What about Babar or Babar or however it's supposed to be?
Babar the elephant?
Yeah. That was the whole thing on Seth Meyers' corrections, the correct pronunciation of Babar.
Yeah, and they nobody could actually really agree on it properly.
No. I just remember one of those cartoons when I was a kid, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that
was for Brian. that was a children's book series rather than a per se comic.
Oh, okay. No, we were just talking about like European stuff.
It was, yeah. Babar was definitely an illustrated children's book, but it wasn't what you would call a comic.
Okay.
Yeah. When I'm talking about like Largo Winch or Asterix or any of these others, they would be more familiar to us as comics.
Well, at this point, I wouldn't mind hearing about some princesses and pizza parlors, to be honest. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind a graphic novel of those. It'd be kind of fun.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
Maybe someday.
Yeah, maybe, you know. I mean, a guy can dream. But yes, so speaking of dreaming, if you dream of adventure, if you dream of games, if you dream of having enough time to play with a bunch of friends around a gaming table, and yet, sadly, the dream is unrequited. We feel for you. We really do. So, you can enjoy the next best thing, which is living vicariously through other people making bad dice rolls and much worse personal decisions in digital or dead tree format with Princesses of the Pizza Parlor by Michael Yarimizu, Yarimizu. Again, on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. They're still currently four paperbacks, just because, you know, the exchange rates are not in my favor for making any sort of commissions at this point.
Oh, yeah, that does make sense, Jesus.
Yes. I really should get around to it anyway, because Astrid is giving me a really nice going rate for these, considering the number of ebook covers she has made for me at this point, which is 17. Right now, 12 episodes, four side stories, and the paralogue, which is really self-indulgently long. It was fun to write. If you need something to while away the hours and enjoy short narrative episode format, again, Princesses of the Pizza Parlor by Michael Yarimizu on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. And if you want something more, slightly more, I'm not sure if highbrow is the right word here, but at least something a little more scholarly, we have Tanuki as a Teapot, a collection of Japanese folk tales. Not exactly translated, retold is the better word here, with commentary and random bits of cultural anecdotes from yours truly, again on
kind of as it should be for folk tales.
Oh yes, yeah, trust me, straight translating some of these things would be really a headache.
Yeah, and like it would also be weird, because it's just like you'd be having to pick a canonical version of the folk tales and do all that, and it's like it just makes more sense to
Several of these things don't have fully canonical versions to begin with. I mean,
yeah, that's what I mean. It's like you would have to pick an authoritative version and choose that as your core translation. That's not really the spirit of a folktale.
Oh, no. I mean, the closest I got was this really wonderful little Okinawan folktale that I happened to find as a kindergarten picture book. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this works. I will let's have some fun with this one. Yeah. Other than that, it was like Kachi Kachiyama, not Clicky Click, has multiple canonical versions depending on how many characters die over the course of the story. While trying to keep it kid-friendly, I also had some fun thinking, okay, this story is effectively Bugs Bunny Does Grindhouse in traditional Japan. I'm not even joking here.
Okay.
How could we retell it like that? Yeah. Japanese Grindhouse with Bugs Bunny. That's basically Chikachiyama. Yeah. Okay.
I have gotten way off track at this point. So anyway, please check them out. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay. And Joe, let us know where we can catch you.
Yeah, you can catch my live streams on twitch.tv/smokinjoegamer and also YouTube. I think it would come up as smokinjoegamer86 on YouTube if you have to put in the tag or whatever. Yeah, so this has been Metroidvania, so just been doing Metroidvania games all month, but I think that's over now. I don't really have much of a plan for June, so I may do some X Defiant streams here and there, or may just focus on YouTube content like album reviews and guitar playing videos, stuff like that. Maybe do some more episodes of Joey Hates Everything. That's where I complain about games that I don't like. Yeah. And it's cathartic for me. I don't know if it's entertaining for the audience, but, you know, we'll see. And that's about it. So, maybe I'll do another Metroidvania later Friday night. We'll see, around, like 8 or 9 o'clock. But beyond that, just check out YouTube for non-gaming videos, hopefully. I want to try to branch out more. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can interact with me on Blue Sky, Mastodon, and Discord as well.
So yeah, give it a look. You can ask us questions. You can ask us questions like dear friend Fireminer did. Via the chat, if you can catch us when we stream, which is normally 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, Thursday nights. We will not be on next week, which, because this might go up at a weird time, I'll say that means that we will not be on June 4th? That sounds right.
June...
Oh, 6th. 6th.
Yeah.
6th. Yeah, we will not be on June 6th, because Wheels will be deep in the Destiny hole.
Yeah.
And
there will probably be no shenanigans next week either.
Yeah, because, again, Wheels will be deep in the Destiny hole.
Yes.
But Friday, yeah. Shin Akuma Mirror matches.
Well,
we're
this
gonna
Sunday,
eat,
yeah.
We're going to eat rice balls, and it's going to be great.
We're all going to just fuck up trying to get the rice ball thing to work properly, because you have to hit taunt multiple times, and that means hitting all six buttons along with a direction. It'll be great.
Magneto.
But yeah, so catch us for that, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, most Thursdays and Sundays, just not June 6th or June 9th. So yeah, give that a look. You can also ask questions in the podcast section of the Discord. Thanks once again, Fireminer, for providing all the questions. Sorry that we've been so very backlogged, but we appreciate that you're always giving us fresh meat to chew on.
Yeah, he's the only one who asks any questions, so it's great.
Yeah, you're the fuel that keeps the podcast running. But yeah, so. But otherwise, and you can also ask us questions in the comments section. There haven't been episodes put up over the past few weeks, so we haven't checked into that too much, but we will next time. So yeah, but any of those are fine. We always love hearing from people. But yeah, otherwise, see ya, Space Cowboys.
See ya.
See ya.